qualified as a personal trainer with the experts, the Australian Institute of Fitness. Hit fitness.edu.au for more.
Wherever you go, that's where you'll be.
There is always a way. If it's good, remember it. If it's bad, get over it.
If you find a hole, just keep digging.
Everyone out in Melbourne, if I'm a bird, then you're a bird.
Oh, yeah, we all help each other, don't we, guys? I mean, this is an important part of our week on this show.
It is. It's really about embracing the community that we live in and supporting each other. And sometimes your friend, maybe not even your friend, maybe the person in the car next to you at the traffic lights just needs a bit of a pep up. And we turn to fellow Melburnians with their wonderful inspirational quotes. Byron, who's on the line?
Yeah, good point, Edward. What's not inspirational is that these phone systems not working, and that's quite flattening for all of us. It is Lewis in Windenbale, and Lewis, we will remind you there is a format after you complete your inspiring quote. Name and suburb, please.
No worries. You've got to fall to know how to get back up. Lewis from Windenvale.
100%.
Beautiful.
Sorry, I blew off a whistle instead of a round of applause. Sorry.
Byron needs the pep up more than anyone this morning.
That's good stuff.
Lewis, beautiful and so succinct. Mm. So meaningful.
Fev, what we'll do is we'll move to Jaden in Hampden Park. Fief, he is ready to inspire.
Jaden, off you go.
Alrighty. Mine's an acronym, and the word believe, and I believe it stands for believe every loss is evolution to victory earned.
Well,
oh!
It's our first ever acronym. We've just had an acronym.
That was amazing. And when did you come up with that? When did you sit there and realise that every letter in the word believe could become something so inspirational?
Oh, I was probably smoking too much wacky tobacco and had too much time on my hands.
Inspiration.
Let himself down.
We all have different sources of inspiration, and certainly Jaden has his.
Let's go to Pete quickly.
Has his sources of inspiration, and
Pete's gone.
Well, there we go. It's
Nick.
They're just chatting with Pete. Can we take Pete off hold, please? That's not very inspiring. Here we go.
From Melton South, the Panthers.
There he is, Fief. He's ready to rock.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, how we doing?
Great, Pete. I won't ask this time where you get your inspiration for your quote from, just in case, but what is your quote?
You've never been anywhere till you've been around. That's from Pete from Melton South.
Oh, sorry, I've done that
I
again.
Love it.
Sorry,
there you've we go. Never been anywhere until you've been around.
Is that Pete the trainer from Melton South?
That's the one.
How are you, brother?
What's good, thanks, mate.
Well, you know him.
I know Pete. Don't worry. Calls himself did something else when he's around the tracks. Yeah. What's your go name?
Should he?
Sorry?
What's your go-to name? What's everyone call you?
Oh, God.
Just Pete, normally, but there's another one we can't mention on the radio.
Yeah, Defev, if you know what it is and it's rude, why would you ask?
Because I wanted to say it.
Okay, well, we're just going to pop Pete down. Whatever his nickname is, let's use our imagination. Fief, your favourite caller, Nick in Warburton, who really is
he's
orator.
Back.
He's back.
Morning, I mean, it's legends. How are we?
Oh, we're great, Nick. You're up there in such a beautiful part of our city, Warburton. You're inspired. What have you got for us this morning?
Now, this is a tribute to my son, Lincoln. His birthday is today. Happy birthday, Dink.
Happy birthday, Lincoln.
So if you're feeling flat like a cake mix, take on the heat and you will rise.
Oh,
so good.
I love it. You just see inspiration everywhere, don't you? You see it, Nick, in the kitchen. You just see it wherever you are. I love it.
Inspiration's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a dad.
He's done another one.
Yeah,
I mean, he just can't help it. You didn't sign off with name and suburb, but in a way...
Oh, sorry. Nick Warburton.
Thank you. I mean, in a way, he doesn't need to. People know who Nick is.
And Byron, you didn't fire off the sports whistle, so I don't know what's happening.
I made a lot of mistakes in that segment, so...
I've
that's
got one for Byron.
Yep.
Don't overcook the chicken.
Oh! Don't overcook the chicken, my last name being Cook. Very clever.
And you're the average chef. You can't really cook.
I don't think that was meant for your last name.
What?
I don't think that was meant.
It was, Fev.
It was.
Right. There you go. It wasn't that good then.
Okay. Well, wow. Okay. Anyway, we're all inspired. Thank you.
Not after that.
101.9. The Fox. The Fox.
Yes, we arrived back from Tokyo. What a trip it was. So many great experiences. But the highlight for me still is Fev, our very own Brendan Favola, taking on an established, I believe he was a champion, sumo wrestler,
champion.
Jumbo, taking him on in what was initially, we thought, just a demonstration match, but
so
got very, very heated very quickly. Can we please relive it?
They're just going through some pre-challenge rituals. Okay, Fev is learning.
Fev's never looked better. This is crazy.
He knows I'm going to get pounded. He's taking the piss.
Fev is now scared, and it's not often he's scared. He's facing
excited.
Heavyweight here.
Okay, hang on.
Eye contact. Fev goes in strong. Jumbo, Fev, it's actually close. He just waved at the crowd. That was a bit arrogant. Oh, Fev's going to pinch him.
Fev's put his loincloth on.
Sure, this was in one of the eight things you can't do.
You can't.
Oh, it is giving Fev. Really, the Australian term is wedgie. I don't know what the Japanese term is. And he's about to ram Fev's head into a cupboard. Oh, wow. And then he's landed on our boss, Amanda.
Next, it's gonna be a serious match, okay?
Oh, the last one was quite serious,
no,
but okay.
Jumbo's gonna turn this on. Watch this.
Well, Jumbo's gonna throw him around like a rag doll, surely. Oh, I'm worried for Fev, but good luck to him. Now, Fev's gone in pretty hard. Jumbo using every year of experience, the veteran sumo wrestler.
Pick him up.
They're grabbing each other's loincloths. It's actually quite a challenge. Jumbo's starting to show signs of weakness. This is actually a legitimate wrestle. Fev got hurled to the ground violently, and that's the biggest wedgie we've ever seen. Oh, Fev's put a hole in the wall. Fev's actually broken the studio. He's put a hole through the wall. Jumbo got a little carried away, and they have destroyed this property. I don't know if we'll get our bond back. Jumbo's bleeding. Jumbo's bleeding at the knees. The wall broke. See you guys. We'll get out of here. Thank you. Oh. It's been fun.
Anyway, by the way, seeing it is even worse. You've got to go to our Instagram. Fifi Fev Byron on Instagram for the full video, guys. Wow.
Yeah, you know, Boxy in the art of sumo. That was declared a win for the
Luch. I am surprised you haven't been approached and somebody's not asking you to sign up. You have in you, no one should ever underestimate you. You were like a rhino. Like you were going to, he was a 10-time world champion sumo wrestler. And in that first round, you just decimated him.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, oh, he thought it would be all fun and games. No. Don't fire Fev up. He will destroy you.
Yeah, as soon as I heard Byron say he waved, that was it.
And then you, did
the
he
fire
put you,
was burning.
Did he? I want to get my the language right here. Did he put you through the wall or did you put yourself through the wall?
I think that because I was winning the fight, he was getting a bit tired, the big boy. He went outside the eight rules. There was eight rules.
There are eight things you can't do, yeah.
And he put his toes in, you can't do that. And then he flipped me, can't do that.
Right.
And then I actually got put through the wall, yes.
You got put through the wall. I'd love to ask this question, if everyone's okay with it.
Mm.
What went through your wall? Was it Brendan Pavola? I mean, things happen to walls. Walls are often just if they're just a bit of plaster, anything can go through a wall.
So have you? Would we like to speak to people who've actually gone through a wall themselves?
Have you gone through a wall? Have you put some? No, maybe not. Have you put someone through a wall? They
I've gone
the
through a
wall,
Boxy, before.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the first time that's happened.
Really? I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So remember the old game? People who love to have a bit of a party will know this game where you drink heaps. Oh, like I'd had a few. And then you get the broom in the house and you spin around 10 times and then you drop it and try to jump over it. Have you done that
before? Never heard of this.
What?
Okay.
Come on, people. Surely
no,
you're
not.
No.
You spin around, you've got to look up at the broom and you just spin 10 times. Then you've got to drop it and you've got to jump over it. Anyway,
yeah.
I jumped over it and fell, went straight through the wall.
Whose wall?
May have been a rental property somewhere.
Oh, God. Okay, so if you've gone through a wall, if you've played any games that have resulted in someone going through a wall, we'd love to hear from you.
Has Fev gone through your wall?
We've never played that game before.
13, never heard of it.
10, 60. The lines are open. 13, 10, 60. It's 7:15 here on The Fox with Fifi, Fev and Byron.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, we just relived the moment where Fev took on a 10-time world champion sumo wrestler called Jumbo when we were in Tokyo last week, and it resulted in such a fiery match that Fev went through the wall of the studio, the sumo studio.
Went through the wall, and then he landed on me.
I know, and then we all got out of there before they hit us with the bill for the wall. You may not be the only person who's ever gone through a wall, Fev. We have some people on the phones there, Byron.
Yes, we do. Mitchell and Rosanna, would you believe? I can see at least three phone calls here of people who've gone through walls. This is unbelievable. But Mitchell is our first one, Fev.
Hey, Mitchell.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. Gone through a wall?
No, not me personally. So we're on schoolies in Byron Bay in 2016, and it was on one of the last nights, one of the boys jumped off one of the tables, and one of the other boys tried to catch him, but in catching him, they both pretty much ended up going through one of the kitchen walls. The next morning, because it was Byron, there was a farmer's market on, and we went and got like an $8 poster and put it over the massive hole in the wall and got the bond back.
Oh, well done.
I tell you what, Mitchell.
They're my heroes.
Fun fact, that's exactly what the Japanese wrestling studio did with the wall that Fev created. They actually got one of their posters and put it straight over the top. So.
And you know what? I don't rate the landlord who doesn't know that the poster shouldn't be there. Like, if you haven't picked that poster didn't belong in your rental, then you deserve it.
Very good. Imagine those boys jumping back on the plane at Byron going, oh, we won. They've got their bond back and everything.
Beautifully done. Oh, we've got Margaret in Cheltenham there, Fev.
Hey, Margaret.
Oh, hi.
Margaret, I can't imagine you've gone through a wall.
Well, I did, and I didn't think I'd ever do it myself.
Whoa!
What happened?
Well, I drove in to pick up my neighbour and her friends to go to a show, and by the time I got them into the car, you know, I was sort of getting a bit agitated because it was really wet on the roads and getting a park, you know, when we arrived.
Yes.
Anyway, so the next thing, I get them in, get one of them in with me, and I shut, waiting on the other two, and with that, I shut the door. I thought I'll reverse back so as they can get in because there was a trap next to me. And with that, I went through their bedroom, the main...
Oh, my God. So you could put your foot on the accelerator and gone forward instead of back.
In back, I've never ever done it before, and I gave myself such a shock to think I did it, you know.
I would hope you haven't driven through too many other walls.
It was pouring rain, and, you know, it was miserable.
Oh, you poor thing, Margaret. Were you able to see the funny side of it eventually?
Oh, no, I still haven't. I don't
think
I
will. Sorry.
No, fair enough.
I'm so sorry. I'm
Grandma's
sorry.
Gone wild.
Grandma has gone through the wall, and look, I think acknowledging it is a great start for Margaret, and she's called our show and shared
a couple of ports.
Well, it might
this
been
weekend.
Some
they might, no, they might talk about it and maybe have a laugh a week later.
Absolutely. Thank you for your call, though, Margaret. We appreciate it.
All right, then. Thank you.
Wonderful stuff. So there she goes, Margaret. There on 13 10 60, and one more here, guys. Lee in Craigieburn.
Hey, Lee.
G'day.
Lee, did you go through a wall?
My wife did.
Huh.
What'd she do?
13 years ago when I first met her, we were being passionate, and I picked her up, put her up against the wall, and she went through.
Okay, there we go. So that's certainly a fairly graphic story. Not one
we went from the 80-year-old Margaret to Lee.
101.9 The Fox.
And we just wanted to stop down to talk about the devastating bushfires in New South Wales and Queensland at the moment, and obviously send all our thoughts and our love to everybody up there who is struggling. And I imagine there'll be lots of people listening who have family or friends that have been affected. They're so catastrophic. Three people have died, 200 homes lost. One of the saddest stories I saw yesterday, I don't know whether you saw it on the news, but Scott Morrison went to one of the centres where people are, the evacuation centres, and this dear 85-year-old man, Owen Wallen, just broke down in tears. He lost everything. South of Taree. You look at it, I watched it, and you can't fathom what bushfire victims go through and the trauma of it. And, you know, we obviously have seen it here in our state many times. And it's just probably a time to reflect. I mean, the poor people in this part of our country, tomorrow the conditions are going to get worse. So these fires are not under control, and tomorrow they're going to be even more extreme. So it's just a time to be mindful, I guess. We are coming into bushfire season here in our state. And right now, if you're listening and you live in an area that is affected by bushfires, now is the time to really start preparing your communities, because it's a bit scary how summer can play out.
How do you prepare, though? I was thinking about this yesterday. And I'm thinking, like, if I lived, like, you know, when you said you're in Wonga Park and you used to have to sometimes you pack the car ready to go. But with your house, like up in Alinda, we always go up to Alinda and that's all forest, obviously, up there. Thinking, how do you prepare? Like, you get all the leaves off the house.
Well, that's what we always got told. When you live in these areas, and I grew up in Wonga Park and we were just surrounded by bush, there were ways of preparing. And I'm sorry, my knowledge isn't up to date, but we were always, had to clear out your gutters. Dad would have to clear all the gutters. You'd cut back all the trees from around the house. There are definitely procedures. And if you are living in an area that is leafy and could fall victim to a bushfire, probably a great idea would be to go onto the websites for the fire brigade.
We'll get all those to you.
Yeah, we'll do that because now is the time to really prepare. And you know what, Fev, though, sometimes, and a lot of houses do get lost when the people have prepared.
Yeah.
They've done it. They've done all the right things. So, look, our thoughts are with everybody, and if you've got family and friends in New South Wales and Queensland who are going through this, and they've got a tough few days ahead.
37 there today.
Tough conditions up our friends up north. Here is a great website, by the way, with resources for everything that Fev mentioned with all the answers, cfa.vic.gov.au. That's cfa.vic.gov.au.
101.9 The Fox.
Hey, big week for The Bachelorette. Angie's going to pick the love of her life, hopefully.
Yes, yes.
I know you two are particularly interested. You're invested.
Well, no, there's a few different thoughts as to who might
just
win.
Just invest into the show.
No, they're all very, they've all got a good chance.
Okay. Anyway, it's going to be a first for the Bachelorette franchise because Osha will not be part of the finale. Now, this is for a very valid reason. His baby son was born, so his wife went into labour as they were filming.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's wonderful news for Osha and his wife that they had their baby. And he made the right decision. You could either have been in this exotic location filming, or you could be at the birth of your child. Osha, you did the right thing.
Yes, 100% he did.
And as much as I love Osha, this, though, could be a mistake.
Mm.
You know what they say, never take a day off because people can go, oh, actually, life goes on without you and maybe you're not required.
Ooh.
Because there is an element. I know Osha does such a wonderful job on The Bachelor, but there is an argument to say sometimes his presence is a bit Captain Obvious.
He's not needed.
He's not needed.
No, I watched the show. He's not needed.
One of my least favourite parts of the hosting of The Bachelor is, and I always feel for Osha because I know he's been told by producers to do this, but at the rose ceremonies, when the girls or the guys in this case don't get the rose and then Osha says the bleeding obvious, I do find this a tad unnecessary.
Jackson, I'm sorry, but you didn't receive a rose.
Okay, the other
thing, mate, I knew that. You didn't need to tell me.
Yeah.
I'm aware I didn't get a rose.
Yeah, it's Captain Obvious, isn't he? He's
not needed.
He's whispering as well.
I watched The Bachelorette and I'm like, oh, jeez, you don't need to be here, bro. Oh, they could do the whole show without him.
Oh, okay.
And you're right.
I reckon now that he's not going to be at the final rose ceremony, the people at Channel 10 are going, oh, he's on a big packet. Let's just back a little bit. And it was similar to I watched a show last night, Boxy, called The Block.
Whoa, the big finale.
Yes, I'm a blockhead. It's the only bit I watch because it's the only bit I care about. And it was actually really good. I didn't know any of the people, but it was an amazing...
two couples have been on this show and hung out with us.
Yeah, but I didn't know them because I didn't watch the show. Okay, I wasn't invested. I just wanted to see if they made money. And it was really good. You know, the apartments were great. And then the show started with Scotty Cam sitting in the middle, who's one of the hosts, along with Shelley Craft. But there was two Domain girls sitting next to him talking about the houses. I'm like, where's Shelley?
Right.
Like, why isn't she sitting there? And then the show kept going and the show kept going. And then all of a sudden they go into the bids and there's Shelley with all the people.
Right.
I'm like, poor Shelley, she doesn't need to be there.
No.
Like, she's just wedged in.
You do feel like she's at times and a wonderful professional, but at times crowbarred into the show.
And she's brilliant at the show. She's brilliant. They should be together.
Right.
It was staggering, Boxy.
Have you got an example? Because I unfortunately didn't watch it.
Yeah, so Scotty Cam and all that are going real nuts with all the domain. Everyone's going, got all the bidders, and all of a sudden they go, oh, where's the other contestants? And they go to Shelley Craft.
This is the only 3 seconds she was in last night's two-hour show.
This is playing really well for everybody here. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
And we knew that because they all made a profit of 400 grand.
It's the Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
Big news in breakfast TV over the weekend. Carl's back, guys.
Wow.
Carl Stefanovic returning to the Today Show in one of the all-time best comebacks.
It's a great comeback, Boxy. Imagine him sitting down now having his little coffee down at Darlinghurst or wherever he is in Sydney, just going, they couldn't do it without me.
Oh, remember, mate,
he'd feel so good about himself right now.
Remember how harsh it was? And look, despite all his personal issues and everything that went down with him, remember, it was on the back of his wedding. Literally, yeah. They sacked him a few days after his wedding while he was on his honeymoon. That's a bit mean. Like, you're trying to enjoy your honeymoon and then, by the way, don't come back.
Mate, I got sacked in rehab.
Okay, yeah, that's even harsher.
That's a bit rough.
That's a bit rough. At least he's at his wedding having fun.
Many said it would never happen, but it has happened. So he'll be hosting the Today Show, I believe, from next year with Alison Langdon.
Yeah, she's good.
Who's she's great from 60 Minutes. She's married to Mike Willis's son, I believe. She's a Willisy now. Going down. Oh, now this morning. So Deb Knight and Georgie, the two brilliant women and wonderful journalists. And I do feel for them because anytime you step into the shoes of somebody who's been successful, everyone judges you, everyone knocks you, and they've had lots of knockers. So they've done a very great job. And now this morning, Georgie hasn't turned up, so she's not there this morning. It's Tom Steinford and Deb Knight, and apparently she's going to take off some time off to spend with her family. And good on her. You know, you're allowed to say, hey, this has been a big thing, a big shift in my life. I've just lost my job. I need some downtime. And I pay that. What was interesting, though, is this, they all knew this for about a week or two leading up. So poor Georgie and Deb have had to front up every day knowing that this news was about to break, that Carl was coming back to take their jobs. And last Friday, possibly the most awkward moment I've seen in on television in terms of lack of rapport or chemistry. You could tell the stress was getting to them all. So we'll play the audio. This was on Friday morning. Deb and Georgie and Tom Steinford, they were crossing to Tony Jones,
Chompers,
sports presenter here in Melbourne.
Oh, Chompers.
They were crossing to him at the racetrack. Now, I'm not a psychologist in understanding the subtext of what's going on in a relationship, but I don't feel like they're getting along very well. Have a listen to the lack of rapport and tension between Georgie, particularly Deb and Tony Jones.
What would you put on the menu, if you reckon? If you were to give the French a real taste of Australiana, I said rissoles, maybe a bit of pavlova for dessert. What would you dish up?
Gee, 4 and 20 maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, Tom, that is so Tom Steinford-like. Really.
A kangaroo burger, maybe? You could.
Why, you just go and slaughter a kangaroo, would you, Georgie?
Well, kangaroo meat is readily available across Australia. That's not uncommon.
You can't eat Skippy.
Plenty
Skippy,
do.
I'm sorry.
Is Archie with you today, TJ?
Deb, we're at a racetrack. Probably not a great idea to bring the dog, I wouldn't have thought.
I thought it might be good to have Archie there to kind of cheer you up.
Yeah, no, I'm in a great mood. It's Friday. I'm in a fantastic mood and I just love being here. But I don't think a racetrack would have been the appropriate venue to bring my cavoodle.
OK, well, sorry for asking. Never mind. All right. Good on you, TJ.
I hate to see him on a bad day. Oh. I thought a 4 and 20 pie was OK. That's what you dish up someone when you're boxing.
Think so. Any time you hear a co-host, even on this show, if you ever hear myself, Byron or Fev say to each other, well, I was just trying to cheer you up, we're having a bad day, okay?
Absolutely.
Someone's having a bad day.
Hey, here's something to cheer you up, Boxy. There's some more Tony Jones stuff.
Oh, more of his great rapport. This time with Beck Judd. This is a great little bit. We love this one from the archives.
Tony, the good news is nice and sunny for the weekend.
You should come round for a barbie.
No, thanks.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's all our news from now.
101.9 The Fox.
Really feel for the families and people living around Lennox Street in North Richmond near the safe injecting room, or as the locals or residents call it, Dan's Drug Den. That's the Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews. I mean, he approved the facility, which was opened right next to a primary school, is seeing drug users injecting themselves. Kids are witnessing this. They're injecting themselves in their neck at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And what's happening is, I'm bringing this up because over the weekend some shocking footage is being released by concerned residents who are they're waving their hands furiously saying, guys, this isn't working for our community. meth zombies are stumbling through the parks where children are playing. They're sitting in the alleyways, injecting themselves through as children are walking and on their tricycles and their skateboards going through this area. They're spitting on residents who are saying, could you please refrain from doing this? That's why the room's there. They're spitting on people. One woman's been threatened with a syringe for saying, could you please, I've got children here.
So are the rooms not, are the rooms full? Why aren't they doing it in the thingo?
Do you know what? Well, do you know what, Fev? Because the room is there, and I would like to say this: I am an advocate of people who need help having a way or a strategy of dealing with that. And if safe injecting rooms is a successful strategy, I would just argue: why can't it be in the middle of the CBD? Why can't it be somewhere? Children aren't in the CBD during the majority. I mean, yes, of course, you get kids visiting. To have it in a suburb where there are children and parks seems just beyond insane.
Ridiculous.
So, because what happens, though, Fev, even though it is a safe injecting room, they should be in there, it's attracting drug addicts.
Yeah.
And these drug addicts are fighting an addiction. So even though they're using the injecting room maybe for the right reasons, you can't stop them walking around like zombies and shooting up. And even they're saying they're having inappropriate relations in parks. So kids are there to play and you've got people off their heads. Jeez. Who are behaving in a way that is not appropriate around children. So I don't understand why it had to be in a suburb where children live. I believe if you're going to go ahead with safe injecting rooms, have them in the CBD in an area that's frequented by adults that can appropriate this behaviour and realise it's not being subjected to kids.
Yeah, well, why don't you run the
state?
Well, I mean, you know how I feel about Dan Andrews. I'm very happy to get involved.
I reckon you could.
Well, that was common bloody sense, was what
it
that
just
was.
Seems, yeah. It just seems like common sense, doesn't it?
The Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
I love Madonna, Fev. I'm a massive Madonna fan. I even went to her concert when she was here. I've been to many of her concerts when she's been here in Melbourne.
She's very good, isn't she?
She's brilliant. She's Madonna.
Is she the best?
No. It's very hard to say who the best
like
is these
female.
Days, isn't it? Well, she'd be one of the
longer. She'd be top three.
Yeah, I think the older you are, you build up, you know, like Cher, like Celine Dion, you know, you start becoming just huge because you've been around forever. But I'm happy to sue her. I'm very happy to get the legal team involved.
Wow,
Because I wouldn't be the first. There is a man who's suing her over in the States. So she had a concert last week and her start time is 10:30 p.m. Her start time on her ticket, when you buy a ticket to see Madonna, it says 8:30 p.m.
That's a good time. Perfect.
She didn't get on until 10:30 p.m.
Right. Oh, okay.
Now, this guy, he's decided, no, I've had it. His name's Nate Hollander. He's taking her to court. I think he's seen a few of her concerts and he's gotten to the swing of it. She just doesn't turn up till late.
Right.
Now, this is interesting. He is alleging, and I think he's got a good point here, that it is when you buy a ticket, there is an obligation, a contract made between the singer and the ticket buyer that is the start time.
Okay.
So you've actually got a good point. If it says 8:30, you're not until 10:30. We had a contract. I bought a ticket.
I wonder how many people stayed around. Do people stay around? Because I'd leave.
Well, I'm probably the wrong person to ask, Fev, because...
You're bringing back horrible memories.
Let's go back 5 years. She came here. She was playing at where was it? In the city? Not the Met.
It was at the Forum. It was this weird gig. Now, Fifi insisted that we go to this gig, and it was this weird...
Because I love Madonna.
Yeah, but it was the Madonna concert where she was doing stand-up comedy dressed as a clown.
And singing, though. Now, Fev, wait for this. The ticket said 8:30, even Byron at the time. And at the time, Trixie was about 18 months old, so I had a baby, and I'm like, it's a school night. I'm doing breakfast radio. I love Madonna that much. And I remember Byron, you said, look, she won't come on till 10, so don't get there at 8:30.
Yeah.
So we got there about 9:30. Byron and I sat at a pub across the road on Flinders Street and we had someone on the inside in the queue and we said, can you just let us know when to come over? Fev, midnight came around. No, she's still not on. 3:30 a.m. Madonna's ticket said 8:30 p.m.
And you stayed till then?
I stayed.
What's wrong with
you? Byron wanted to go home.
I wanted to go. I said, Fee, this is not worth it. And she said, no, we're staying. She was determined.
I'm not a concert person. Like, I'm not a music person like you two guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love food. So I'm gonna say what I'd think. If I go into a restaurant and I order a steak, I love steak with mushroom sauce and pepper on the side.
Okay.
If they said to me, you got to wait 2 hours for your food, I'd walk out.
Right.
We waited 8 hours.
I don't understand.
3:30 a.m. So this guy's suing her because she was 2 hours late. I waited for her for 8 hours.
Wow.
We've got some cash. We can get some of the cash, Byron.
Let's go. We think of all the damage that was done, the loss of income, the inconvenience.
I don't get it.
Okay. And can we just hear the audio? This is her arrogance. Remember, I do love her, but this is her arrogance on the weekend at being late.
There's something we all need to understand, and that is that a queen is never late.
Oh. Wow.
Wow.
And as you said before, Fev, the irony is the actual queen is never late.
No, and she's in an audience.
She's punctual. 101.9, The
Fox. Oh, it seems like a lifetime ago, guys, that we were in Tokyo, Japan.
We're taking lots of tradies to the home of karaoke, tradioke.
Tokyo.
All the highlights of the trip, including Fev being put through a wall by a sumo wrestler, Fifi Fev Byron on Instagram. It's all there, Fif.
Yes. Now, we had so much fun, and it was great travelling as a team, as a family, Fev. We had our kids. It was great. Now, one thing that I was trying to get off the ground, Fev, I just couldn't stop saying the word Shibuya. Now, Shibuya is an area of Tokyo, very famous for the Shibuya Crossing. When you see iconic photos of all the neon lights, like Times Square in New York, it's often the Shibuya Crossing.
Well, Japan is Times Square on steroids. I mean, it is. New York. It's
mumbling. But what I couldn't stop saying Shibuya.
Oh, you like said anywhere, it a lot.
I know, we'd be walking down the street and I'd go, Shibuya! Yeah. And then whenever we had a photo taken as a group, I would say, like, often the lovely local, Japanese local, would hold the camera and look at us all and go, now, cheese. And I'd go, no, guys, let's all say, Shibuya! Leon, how annoying was that after a while?
Not only was it really annoying, it was also confusing the local Japanese residents.
It would. It'd be like a Japanese tourist coming over and going, Caulfield. But it just doesn't make sense.
But I was trying to get it off the ground, and I would like to continue, Fev. My mission is to just have that as a saying. Like Bart Simpson on The Simpsons. Yeah,
Cowabunga.
Shibuya.
I like it.
131060, right. We are going to ask you the question, have you tried to get something off the ground? One of the others I try to get everyone into is hockey.
I kept saying namaste, because that's what they say when you walk into a restaurant, but everyone keeps saying it's not how, it's
not
how
not
you
sure
say it.
I'm not sure that's what they say.
They do. When the you walk in, train. They go namaste, okay. And they go hello.
I think that's Indian. I'm not sure.
They say namaste every time.
All right. But can I say, you know what I realised though, Fev, when we came back? Because I thought to myself, I'm sure Shibuya is something. But then I went into the Urban Dictionary, and I think what I was getting confused with was when people go, booyah, like in your face, booyah.
Well, I think that's an Ali G thing, isn't it? Booyah kacha.
Yeah, booyah.
Do you go to that dictionary?
Shibuya.
How often do you go to that dictionary?
Well, because I was not very often, but I knew it was something.
I've looked at a dictionary since grade 6.
I would be happy over the next few months, years, if Shibuya becomes a thing here in Melbourne.
Shibuya,
Shibuya.
Fev doesn't like this one, but I'm still trying to get Toodles off the ground as a way to sign off. Toodles.
I want grouse.
Grouse?
Grouse is, I love that.
Yeah,
I think I made that
grouse.
Word up.
Grouse needs to come back.
You didn't. It was an 80s thing, but you're bringing it back.
Okay. 1310.
When mum used to give me a bottle, I'd go, grouse.
Oh. Well, as an infant.
Yeah, grouse.
131060. Call us with the saying.
Shibuya!
With the saying you're trying to get off the ground.
Namaste.
1019. The Fox. The Fox.
Now, we were just talking about things, words, sayings you either want to bring back or get off the ground. And it's when you're committed to it. So I'm really want to get off that when I'm excited, or, you know, maybe you're watching sport and someone kicks a goal, I want people to go, Shibuya! I don't think it works like that.
The 2022 World Cup, and so they do Australia, Shibuya! Kicks out, Shibuya!
How good does that sound, though? It sounds so good.
It's just the name of a Japanese neighbourhood, but Fief just liked the sound of it.
But the saddest thing is when you're trying to get something up, and Leon and Amanda and Pammy and Daniel, the group we were travelling with, Ryland, big shout out to Ryland, he did a great job as well, and Will, we'd travel as a pack, and I'd just start going to Shibuya. But when you know no one else is is following you with it, you start to go, I reckon this is not going to work.
No.
Now, we're not the only people to want to bring back sayings or get them off the ground. Yeah. We've got some people on the lines there, Byron.
Loads, yeah. A lot of people are trying to take off with their own originals. Dovey is in Caulfield, guys. Now, he's got one he's working with. What you got, Dovey?
Hey, I went on a trip to Israel recently and I learned the word Yala. And ever since, I've just pretty much been yelling Yala, Yala at everyone I see.
What does it mean in Arabic?
It means like hurry up or let's go. It's kind of like a
Yala, Yala.
Just be careful saying that. Just be very careful.
Dovey, we should have a night out.
Should be fine.
We should have a night out together where you're just going Yala and I'm just going Shibuya. Yala and Shibuya.
It's a great night. There we go. Dovey, thank you for that one. Now, Tina in Oakley. Now, this one, well, no, this is an original as well. There's a few that people trying to bring back old ones, like Fev wants to bring back Grouse.
Yep.
But this is another original, Fev.
Well, it's hard to get an original off the ground, Tina. I know you try how hard it can be. What do you want to start?
My son came up with it, Blake, and he came up with Maniac for mean. Maniac drivers on the road.
I'm a
maniac. Maniac.
I like
on the
it.
Road.
That's what we sing.
You mean maniac because they're mean. They're maniacs.
They're mean and they're maniacs at the same time.
I like
time.
It.
Oh, well done.
That's a
cute, Blake. Well done.
Maniac. That has some chance. More than Shibuya. We've got one more here.
Shibuya's still the clubhouse leader.
Kate, I love it.
Kate in Mernda.
Hey, Kate.
Hello.
Kate, what are you trying to get off the ground?
What's your comeback?
Uru.
What?
Uru.
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 Instead of goodbye, Uru needs to come back.
Okay. What a great, that's amazing.
Uru. I believe, Fief, Uru was a popular saying from popular television presenter Don Burke.
Yeah.
He did say Uru a lot.
Uru.
It was a different time.
Uru, guys.
All right, so we're out of here. Uru.
What happened to Don?
Don has had a little bit on, and Don... Oh, we'll check in with Don at some point and find out how everything's going.
Don is not good.
Don is not good, as it turns out.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Get qualified as a personal trainer with the experts, the Australian Institute of Fitness. Hit fitness.edu.au for more. 101.9